Good morning. Good morning. All right. I thought we was there. Good to see everybody. Appreciate each one coming out on this Lord's Day to worship with us. If you're visiting, we appreciate your presence, and we hope you treat you so many ways you're bound to like at least one of them. So we'll do our song service from the Heavenly Highway Hymns, the Blue Book, as it's affectionately called, and we want you to sing out in good voice, number 279. 279.
Sam, we're going to do a little bit of something different today. Now, we just got out of revival this past Wednesday night, didn't we? We had two that sought the Lord during the week. You know, those two are still not saved that I know of. I haven't heard anything from them. I'll put it that way. But we've got others here that are not saved. And so we're going to, I want this to be fresh on our minds, that they're not saved yet. And we need to have that on our heart. Now, a lot of times we do in our services, we wait till the last minute to give an altar call. But we'll say the altars are always open, don't we? And they are. They're always open. And we want them to be open in everybody's mind to come and pray. While we sing this next song, for those that are not saved here this morning, I want you to know something. These altars will not save you, but it's a good place to pray. I got saved on one of them. I want you to understand something. What you need today is the Lord. More than anything else today, you need the Lord today. And if you're here today and the Lord is dealing with you already today in this service, I've heard it testified many times. I didn't think that preacher was going to ever hush where I could go to the altar and get saved. I think there's two or three that says that here. Today, I'm going to give you a chance early. And while we sing this next song, if you're here today and the Lord is dealing with your heart, and you know God is saying to you, you come to him that you can be saved today, and he's saying, you come to me. It doesn't matter. I say this all the time. I love these mourners' benches, these altars. I love them. It's a good place, but you don't have to be right here to get saved. You can get saved where you're sitting at if you'll turn your heart over to the Lord. So while we sing this next song, let's get these lost back on our mind. Let's don't think revival is over with and we can relax till next year, because we haven't got time to relax. To be honest with you, we haven't got time to relax. They can die today. The Lord can come back today, and we need to be about God's business. So while we're singing this song, if you're here today and you know you're not saved, we're going to just throw the service as far as what we normally do out the window, and we're going to follow the Lord today. So everybody, while we stand, if you're here today and you want to seek the Lord, it's a good time for you to do that. While we stand and sing.
277, Amazing Grace.
You, Center, know today the invitation is still open to you. You can seek the Lord right there in your seat, but if you feel like you need to be at this altar, you better come. And that's any time during the service. I don't care if we're singing, I don't care if we're praying, I don't care if I'm preaching. You follow what the Lord puts on you as far as you seeking God. That's what's important today. Is your soul being saved? It's important to me, but it's even more important for you to get that peace of mind and soul in your heart today. So I hope and pray today that you will seek God today. I want us to have these sinners on our hearts today and throughout the remainder of time. It's been too long since I've seen somebody saved. I'm not talking just about here. It's been too long since I've seen somebody saved, period. And I want to see somebody saved today. And I want us to keep that on our minds and in our hearts in this service today. I guess we'll kind of go back into our normal service. We thank everybody for being here. Glad to have our visitors with us today. We appreciate you coming out to the house of the Lord today. We had a good revival, although we didn't see anybody saved, We had some that sought the Lord but did not get saved, as far as we know. You know, it tickled me to death if they could stand and say, I got saved, whether it was during the meeting or after the meeting or sometime else. I'd love to hear that today, and I want us to follow the Lord in this service and everybody be about God's business today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes, but I do want to ask, does anybody have a word of testimony on your heart this morning before we go any further in the service? We'll go ahead and have our children's church. Brother Tom's going to do that for us today, and we'll let Brother Tom come forward at this time for that.
All right. Come one, come all. We're going to go over here on this side today. Got to keep everything in balance, right? Let everybody on this side see your beautiful faces. Not mine. What's going on? How's everybody doing? Hey, Luke. You doing okay today? Looking good. All right. I could really use some good news. Does anybody have any good news? Think about it. Any good news? Did anybody have a birthday this summer? Well, that's good news. Did you get any presents? That's good news. Anybody get to go on vacation this summer? That's good news. Anybody counting down to football season? Got a month away. That's good news. Everybody still enjoying summer? No school yet? I know not the three of you. Good news, no school. We get lots of good news sometimes, don't we? Sometimes it seems like we get bad news. But getting good news really just makes us feel great. You don't have any good news? Well, I'm going to tell you some. So, no matter what good news that we get about getting presents for birthday, maybe getting to go on vacation, not having to go to school, the best news of all is about Jesus. Have you guys ever heard of the gospel? The gospel? There are the gospels in the Bible. Well, the gospel means good news. And real quick, I just want to tell you a little bit about that. And so you'll always have good news to tell somebody. So if anybody randomly comes up and says, hey, do you have any good news? You can tell them this. That in the beginning, God created everything around us. He created the heavens and the earth. He created all the animals. He created you. And he said, it was good. And it was perfect, and it was holy. And then we, man, disobeyed God. And that created a gap between us and God. And it was really bad news. But then, God loved the world so much that he made a way for us to get back to him. And that was through Jesus. And the gospel of Jesus is that he was born of a virgin, that he lived his life here, he lived perfectly, and then he died for our sins, and then God raised him up from the dead that you and I might be saved. And that is good news. So, we've got all these books in the Bible that have chapters and chapters and chapters, and it's all good. But in the simplest form, hopefully that you understand, the gospel is that Jesus came, gave his life for you, and God raised him up from the dead that you might believe and be saved one day. Isn't that good news? That's the best news I've ever heard. I'm praying for all of you. I love you. Thank you for being here today. That's all.
Thank you, Brother Tom. Thank you for doing that today. Appreciate the good thought, the good news. That's something, as he said, we can all share, is the good news of Jesus Christ. My thought came to be one way during his talk is, and I think I've said this before, you know, there's a lot of people, we all have different greetings for everybody. You've probably run into somebody, and you may be one of these people. First thing out of your mouth, what do you know? What do you know? Most of us will answer it, and I've done this for years. Not much. I heard somebody say this one time, and I've tried to make a habit of it. If somebody asked me what I know, I'd say, Lord, I know Jesus. It gives a good opportunity, and that's good news right there. If somebody tells you they really know Jesus, that's good news. And it'll open up a door for sometimes for you to ask them a good question. And so kind of, if somebody says, what do you know, tell them good news. Good news. Good to see everybody today. As I said, we want everybody to follow the Lord today. We do not have a particular set way that we do our services. Yeah, we sing a couple songs. I get up and talk. We do the children's church, and we'll sing a few more songs and have preaching if Lord will. And then we'll maybe sing another song and dismiss. That's normal. But the Lord's service is when we follow Him. Brother Barry kept saying it wasn't really the Lord's service. It's our service to Him. I agree with him about that. But we still need to follow God. And in that way, if we'll follow Him, it's His service that we'll do to Him. So let's follow the Lord today in this service. Anybody got a word of testimony or maybe a prayer request upon your heart this morning? Let's remember these that sought the Lord this week. Any other lost one that might be in our midst today that did not seek the Lord this past week, might not even been here, if they are a sinner in God's eyes, they need to get saved. And now is better than later. Now is better than later. So they need our prayers. Let's pray that the Lord will send conviction on them. I hear people say it all the time. Well, the sinners are just not convicted enough to get saved. Now, I'm of the opinion, and many people disagree with me about this. If the Lord showed you that you're a sinner, you've got enough conviction to get saved. A lot of people disagree with me about that. Now, if they didn't have enough conviction to get saved right then, God would be an unjust God to allow them to die, wouldn't He? And He's not unjust. So you've got enough conviction. So don't think within yourself, well, I'm just not convicted enough. I'm not ready to go to the altar. You're a sinner. You're lost. You need to get saved now. Don't put it off. Because if you die now, you're going to the devil's hell. And that's something we need to get on our hearts. We need to keep it on our hearts. If we want to see these people get saved, we better get it on our hearts. And don't just say, well, revival's over with, we'll wait a while. No, now. Let's try to do that today. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart this morning? Yeah. Lord bless her. Lord bless her. Lord bless her. Lord bless her. Lord bless. Let's do remember Sister Kendra's granddaughter, right? That she might get saved. And let's pray conviction will get stronger on her. Somebody else. Thankful to see each and every one out today. We hope that we'll all be prayerful for this service. If it's meant for me to preach today, you pray that the Lord will help me today, that the message will be what God would want it to be. Let's pray for our members that are not here, for our, the usuals, I even say, the ones that's not joined the church that needs to be here or not here. Let's pray for them also. Let's pray for them that the Lord will help them. We've got sick that needs our prayers. We've got ones that that are basically can't come because of health issues. Let's pray for them. Paula noticed in the bulletin that our oldest member, Sister Otto, she'll be turning 91 year old tomorrow. Let's pray for her. Let's pray for her. Somebody else have something on your heart. Glad to see everybody here. Glad to have our visitors with us today. Let's be about the Lord's business today in this service. Brother Chad, if you would you lead us in prayer? Everybody pray in your own way, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. Continue our worship. Just remember Brother Ricky's request that even though revival is gone, there's no time to stop praying. Amen. We could have revival any service that we meet. Let's turn to number 300, top of the page, Hand in Hand with Jesus. 300.
You know, little things make a big difference. Okay, I'd say some of you probably didn't hear what she said. She's so glad that she found this church. And then she made mention there at the last, and I went blank on her name, but a family came here to visit here probably a couple year ago now, and her father was my old boss, and I had pastored her grandfather, matter of fact, at Caney Fort when I was there, and grandparents, I should say, but they came to visit. They couldn't get to their church, so they decided to just drop in here. And she went home, and sometime during the week, she called Miss Barbara and said, "You need to go try Murfreesboro Church." And sometimes that's good for us just to do that. Just tell somebody, "You need to come try us." If they've been saved, there's something about us that will bear witness with them. And we're not always on top of the mountain, are we? But there's always a spirit here of the Lord. Sometimes we may not manifest it like we ought to, but the Spirit of the Lord's always here. Somebody else got a word testimony on your heart? It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Most of you didn't realize it. I said something about it, but I actually left this revival and went to another one. The church that my daddy's family grew up in, it's a Presbyterian church, and they called and asked me would I help them in revival and come and preach for them at least one night. Well, last night was my night, and I preached to them. And I enjoyed myself, enjoyed being with them the rest of this week. But it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. And it's good to be with God's people anytime and anywhere. And they believe just like we do as far as salvation is concerned. They got mourner's bench just like we do. They got one. But they practice salvation like we do, and I'm thankful for that. And I was talking to the pastor last night, and he brought up their little group of churches. And I said, "How many of y'all got in y'all's group now?" And he said, "Three." I said, "What happened to all the rest of them?" He said, he finally went on and said, "They just went modern." And they left. They started out by changing Bibles. And then he said, then they've done a little bit of this. And then they, from what I understand, they even actually went on to professing people. They tell them when they prayed long enough. And I'm thankful that pastor up there, that group, there at Pleasant Shade, that Presbyterian bunch, I'm thankful that he believes in letting them pray through. I've had several discussions with him about it. And he don't have any time of day for those that would try to deceive somebody. He's outspoken. He makes me look mild, but he's outspoken. He says, "No." He said, "That's not going to happen," and I'm thankful for Scott and what he stands for. I do want us to be prayerful for this service. Let's continue to pray for these that unsaved. You know, I can look over here and I'd see them. I'd see them back there. I'd see them back here. I can see these over here and right there that's going to be coming to the age of accountability before too long. It'll be here before we know it. And we need to be praying for them. You might think, you've heard me say this before, when Luke was born, and then Brother Sam's Luke too, we need to be praying for them even before they're born, that the Lord will convict their souls. If he allows them to live, we need to pray that the Lord convict their souls and they'll get saved. So let's keep them on our hearts. But I hope these that are already lost, I hope you seek the Lord today. And I hope you find him today. That's between you and him. Anybody got anything on your heart? I've talked enough, ain't I? Go ahead. Yeah. Lord bless you. Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah. Bless your heart. Yes, sir, he is. Bless your heart, Brother Tim. Appreciate this testimony. Similar to his, I heard a testimony this week. Somebody said that they went to the altar, said, they got down a little bit lower and a little bit lower. He said, finally, I had to put my nose on the floor. And he said, when I put my nose on the floor, as far as I could go. But he said, that was when I turned it over to the Lord. I got saved. Reminded me of Brother Tim's then. Somebody else got something on your heart. Everybody follow the Lord today. As I say so many times, even if I've started preaching, the Lord's got something on you, you do it. And that's especially for those that are sinners. You need to come to seek the Lord whenever the Lord is dealing with you. Don't wait for me to give an altar call. Everybody got hearts and minds clear? Everybody turn to the first book in the Bible. Book of Genesis, chapter 1 today. As the saying goes, I've been sitting on this one for a little while. Brother Barry told me first, he says, I don't know if I can preach 8 sermons or not. He said, you better put some arrows in your quiver, meaning I better be prepared. And Lord did give me this message, and I thought, well, whenever I get to preach, if I don't get to preach here, I'll use it up there at Pleasant Shade. But then Lord gave me another thought for that one. So here we're back with this. And so the Lord's got a reason for this message coming forward today, so you be prayerful for me, and you pray that the Lord will take this message and it'll be used for His benefit and for the benefit of our souls. Genesis 1, we're going to start with verse 1. It says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. That's reading the first 5 verses of the first chapter of the book of Genesis today. In the creation, we find here that God created light. He divided the darkness out there. I find in the scripture where it says God created the darkness. We find in the book of Revelations, I think it's in the 5th chapter, that God created all things for his pleasure is what he did. So with his pleasure, he made the darkness and he made the light. Now, in this darkness that we're going to talk about today, it's not going to be the nighttime darkness. I want you to notice something about that first chapter of the book of Genesis and that first 5 verses there. He never mentioned the sun. Did you notice that? That doesn't happen. I believe it's until day 4 that the sun and the moon and the stars are created. So where did this light come from? It came from God himself. Now we find in the book of Revelation when in the 20th chapter, and maybe it's 21st chapter, it says, and there's no need for the sun or the moon there, sun and stars there, for he is the light of that city is what the scripture tells us about God there. He is the light that is there. But today I want to kind of go between darkness and light today. I want everybody that is not saved and you that are saved, I want you to remember your period of darkness. There is a period of darkness in every human being's life. It's called sin. But when the light, which is God, comes into us, then we have a light within us. I want you to look, if you would, at the book of Colossians, the first chapter of it. And I want to give you a verse just to kind of get this started today. And it says in verse 13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, the powers of darkness, first of all, most individuals would probably say, well, the powers of darkness, that's Satan. Yeah, he's the power of darkness. But the fact of the matter is, the powers of darkness are the sin that we have within us. As sinners, we have not believed God. Just like Adam did not believe God, and he partook of that fruit. And there is where sin came into this world. But the fact here says that he hath delivered us from the power of darkness, but has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now that translated right there means changed, if you would. It means changed and made different in this way. In our language today, translating means to take a language. Usually it means to take a language that we do not understand and somebody makes it clear for us is what it does. But here he says we have been translated from that power of darkness, been changed and put into the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, as still a starting place. Remember, we're talking about a darkness to light here today. And what we're wanting you to see is, first of all, there's a difference in darkness and light. I think we all realize that in a natural sense. We've all went into a room that was just pitch black. Years ago, I was working a construction job, and I think I was probably 30, 40 foot in underground, and it was the power went out, and I'll be honest with you, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. Is the way I was. I knew that I was in darkness right there, natural darkness. And finally, after about, I think it was probably 45 minutes or so, somebody found the right switch and they turned the lights on and it was bright again. We know that kind of darkness to light there. But I want you to see in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and looking at verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I want you to pay attention to this today. He says, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Going back to Genesis, it was darkness over all of creation at that moment in time. And God commanded the light to shine. Now, I'm a little bit different than what many people are today. When he starts talking about this light, I think God was anticipating what he was fixing to do on this creation. And what I mean, he knew that he was going to form this earth. He knew that he was going to put the waters as they was. He knew that he was going to bring ground or land up out of the waters. He knew all of that. He knew he was going to put the fish in the sea, the birds in the air. He knew he was going to make the animals and put them in place. He even knew that he was going to make a man that would be up on this earth and put him in his place. But God, in his foreknowledge, wanted to make man different. He put in him a soul, but he also made him an agent that he could make a choice in life that would give him the most honor and glory. If God had wanted to, he could have made us as human beings to being like the angels. And that was no choice in them. But the scripture tells us that man had a choice. And God knew that he was going to give him that opportunity. But God, in his love and mercy, he wanted man, if he did transgress the law of God, that he would have a chance to come back to God. And that was what that light was. That was before even the foundations of the world. He came up with a plan of salvation, and then I'll give you scripture for it later if the Lord will. But the fact of the matter is today, he saw us as human beings in our sin before man ever sinned. It was not foreordained, but it was saw by him in his foreknowledge. He was able to see all of that, and he wanted us to have another chance, is what he wanted us to do. He wanted us to see that when we was in darkness, that he could turn the lights on. Now let's go back to the darkness here before we go any further in that. We may come back to that sixth verse here today. But I want us to look just a little bit at the fact of this darkness that we're talking about. We're going to the third chapter of the book of John. These verses are familiar to you, but it's probably the least familiar of the entire sermon that Jesus taught Nicodemus. We know about the other 16, maybe 17 verses, but when we come down to verse 18, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now listen to verse 19. Here we go back with darkness and light. He said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Every sinner, I want you to understand something today. You're in the dark. And I'm not talking about the physical darkness of a nighttime or even being in your room without a light on. I'm talking about being in the dark as far as the knowledge of God himself. What I mean by that is, yes, you've heard us preach about him. You've heard people testify about him. But really and truly, you've never experienced what it is to be in the light. You've never experienced that knowledge of Jesus Christ himself. You've never experienced the love that he put toward every human being, in that he gave his son that everyone might be saved that would believe. But you've never experienced that. You've never completely come to the knowledge of that. So you're in darkness today. It's as if you were out walking in the middle of the night. There's no moon. Maybe the clouds have covered up everything. You know, those are dark nights, but you're out there in the middle of that and you have no light. and you are just wondering aimlessly about in your life. You're just kind of going a little bit here. You're hoping you're going to a good direction. You're hoping that maybe you're going to find a relief with maybe just a little light that is out there, and you can zero in on it and get to where you need to be. But the fact of the matter is, the only real light that you'll ever find is in Jesus Christ. As long as you are a sinner, you're in that darkness. And you need to come to the light. Now, first of all, listen to what he says in verse 20. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Oh, wait a minute. Do you really hate the light? What is that light? It's God. What is that light? It's Jesus. What is that light? Salvation itself. What is that light? Think about it today. Do you really hate it? Well, that word hate there actually means not hatred as we usually think of it, but what it actually means, you regard it less. You take it for granted. You think that, well, these people, yeah, they've got something. Yes, they talk about having a religion that is more than what others have. They talk about, they feel something that lets them know that they're going to heaven. They talk about that they're going to heaven when they die, but I don't really understand what they're talking about. You're in that darkness. You're a sinner in the eyes of God. And because of that, you don't regard it very well, do you? What do? You kind of sit there and you think, well, maybe there's something to it, but then again, maybe there's not. You're afraid to step out unto the Lord. And what he says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Now, Jesus made this statement to the Samaritan woman. He said, the day cometh that, and what he said was, that God seeketh those to worship him in spirit and truth. So what is truth? That was also the same question that Pilate asked Jesus during a trial when he said, I am the truth. He said, what is truth? Well, the truth of the matter is, you're in darkness and you need to find the light. You're in sin and you need to be saved from that sin. You're in that darkness and you're wandering about in that sin, and now you are lost. Oh, yeah, we use that term, don't we? What does it mean to be lost? If you was wandering around in the dark, and sometimes we do it in our own homes, don't we? We think we're headed in a right direction, maybe down a hallway, or maybe we're headed around a bed to get out into another room or something like that in the dark, and yet it's so dark that we can't hardly find our way. We may find the corner of the bed. That usually hurts real bad, don't it? The idea is, though, because that you are wandering aimlessly about in your life without God, you're in darkness. Now he says, for he that doeth truth cometh to the light. You see, there is a point in time in every individual's life when they realize they are sinners in the eyes of God. Yeah, every one of them. I believe that the ones that are in the deepest parts of Africa, the ones in the Philippines or in the jungles where maybe they've not met a modern man, yeah, they still finding a few of them around in places. All of them come to a place where they start seeking out a higher power, is what they'll call it. They start seeking God. But what they will turn around and do is they'll find something to worship but God. Anything but God. You know, a bird, maybe it's a volcano. You know, that was always the running joke in the movies. They'd worship a volcano. They'd worship a mountain. They'd worship the sky. They'd worship the sun. They'd worship anything but the true God. And we live in a time right now where people do the very same thing. They'll worship anything but the true God. But he that cometh to the truth. Now get this. You got to come to God. He is truth. Jesus is the truth. And that plan of salvation that he set up, he and God set up together. And the way it put it in the book of Revelation, and I believe this is true, that when God was coming about with this plan of salvation, whereby that you might be saved, it said that they searched everywhere for one that could be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I believe God looked throughout all the creatures of the earth. I believe God looked at all of humanity, and there was nobody that could do it. There was none that could live a perfect life that would be able to do that, not in humanity, but there was a one that said, I can go. And that was the Son of God. The Son of God, Jesus, said, I'll go, Father. If you'll save the ones that believe in me, I'll go. He said, I'll go and I'll suffer for them. I'll take up on myself their humanity. That's what he did. He left the portals of heaven, came down into this world, and lived just like us, yet without sin. He lived perfect. And when he did that, you know what he did? He gave his life. Because the Bible said in God's rule that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's in Hebrews there. And what he was trying to tell us was there had to be blood shed that man could be the perfect sacrifice. So what did he do? He went to a cruel cross on Calvary's hill. And there on that cross, he had already shed much blood before he got there. But there on that cross, he died. And Brother Barry talked about it the other night when he talked about the grace and how that the blood was used before God. He carried that sacrifice up to God in that day. And he carried that there. And part of it was used as the way of proof that he was doing it and God was taking his part. But the rest is used for us. I can't preach it like Brother Barry did, can I? But he that cometh to truth cometh to the light that his deeds may be made manifest. Whoa. What does that mean, manifest? It means put it right out in front of him. You know, every lost sinner, when the truth comes to them about God and the fact that they haven't believed in him fully with all their heart, mind, soul, and body, when that truth comes to them, you know, it becomes right in front of your face. You know, I talked about being in that room and it was right there. It was dark and I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face. But when the light came, you know what I actually did that day? I decided after just a few minutes that the lights wasn't going to come on. And you know what? I tried to work my way around in that building to where that I knew there was light. And I finally felt my way through around the walls and everything. And I worked my way around through there, and I got to the doorway, and out in the distance, I could see a glimmer. I could see a shape. In that room, it was a doorway. But while that you're a sinner, the shape that I want you to see is Jesus standing there. It may be just a very faint view of him, but you see him through the Word of God, through the testimonies, through the songs of the people. All of these things are that faint little view that is there. In your darkness, you wonder, is that really it? And you wonder about it, don't you? I did. Is it really true that I can go to heaven? Is it really true that Jesus died for me? Is it really true that all of these people have already been saved and they know about being saved by the grace of God? They have joy in their heart. They have the love of God in their heart, and they've been changed inside is what they have. Is that really true? Until you experience it, till you really go to that little light that's out there, till you really go to it, you're still struggling in darkness. You're still struggling in sin. You know, that day I was in that room and the lights was on, and I could have sat down right there and I'd still been in darkness. You know, when I was a sinner, that night when I realized the Lord was there, and Chuck had just gotten saved, and I was looking at him in the face right there, I knew the Lord was there. I could have turned around and got up and walked out and walked away from God and probably never gotten saved, to be honest with you. But you know what I did? I moved toward the light. I moved toward him. I didn't have to move very far. As far as physically, all I did was go back to bow down and prayed is what I did. Didn't take very long, but I came to the light. And I have not been in sinful darkness ever since. No more darkness in my life. Oh, these times, yeah, the lights goes out and we're in that kind of a darkness. But it's not like the darkness of sin. It's not like the fear of that darkness in my heart was. Knowing that when I died, I was going to hell. Knowing that I was going to be separated from everybody that I love. Knowing that I needed God right then, I did not have to go very far. You've heard me say it a lot of times. If you'll make one step towards God, he'll make two towards you. If you don't watch out, he'll make a dozen. He'll run to you. But you've got to come to him. You've got to go to the light. Like I said, it may be just a little faint light right out there right now in your eyes. But if you'll go to him, you know what you'll do? He'll turn the lights on. Let me just back up and say it away. He'll turn the lights on for you. He will. He'll turn them on. And it's brilliant. Brother Tim said he saw a light. You catch that? Boy, I thought, boy, he's introducing my sermon. I didn't see a bright light. I didn't. I didn't see a big dark spot. I didn't see that. Everybody's testimony is different. Everybody's experience is different. Some people recognize it in one way, others recognize it in another. But what never changes is all the trouble and sorrow that you have within your heart that comes from sin and that darkness, it goes away. You know, when I was in that room, I've talked about that room a lot today, and I saw that glimmer of light where that doorway was, I still work my way to it. And it wasn't one of these doorways where you go straight through like those. You know what? It kind of had a little maze to it. You got up there and you had to take a left turn, and the wall ended, but the wall was over here. And then I worked my way back this way, and I got there, and then there was light. It was out there a little farther in the distance. And I wasn't in the light completely. I heard people talking out in the distance. You know what I did? I went towards the light I could see. And what I found when I got over there, there was a big hole in the floor in that where they let construction stuff down in through. Probably 20, 30 foot is in Rad Waste Building where it was. 20, 30 foot square right there. And there was the most beautiful light coming down through there. And all everybody was gathered right around that little light. That was physical. But every one of these that are saved today, we're gathered in the light. Ooh, that's a good thought, ain't it? We're all gathered together, basking in the love of Jesus Christ, which is the light of the world. And we are just able to just join together in love and peace and harmony and just be able to enjoy God's glory and peace in that day. We come together in that light. Boy, ain't it good when you get to be in God's presence with God's people and God in the midst. You know what you've also felt, and I used this last night. You know, every step I took, I was expecting something a board to fall out of the way. I was expecting to get my shin hit. I was expecting to step on a board and twist my ankle. I was expecting something to hurt me in that darkness. I'll be honest with you, I expected some of them jokers I work with be in there, and just as I got to a certain place, they's going to holler at me and try to scare the daylights out of me. I did. I expected it. They didn't come. Devil's trying to scare you out of trusting him. Don't you listen to him. Don't listen to what's going on in your mind. You see that little faint light of Jesus out there? You go to him. Brother Sam, while we sing, sinner friend, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I want you to be saved. I want you to come to him right now and be saved. Now's the best time to get saved. You don't have the promise of getting home today. A lot of times you don't have the promise tomorrow. You don't have the promise of getting out of this house today. You better get ready. You better go to that light. It don't take a long time to get there. It only takes a second, actually. But you need to come out of that darkness of sin and go to the light of Christ. While we stand and sing. Why? Just come and seek the Lord this morning is what we asked you to do.
237.
Lord, thank you.
237.